Got something on your mind? Tell Lisa all about it. 203-333-9422. It's the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And good morning. Welcome back to the show. Hold on one second. Let me just get to this. Hold on a secundo. Okay. We are expecting to hear from Ray McGuire momentarily. Let me give you a little bit of his own background. He was born in 1957, which means he's 63 years old. And he is a political candidate now for New York City mayor. He announced back in October of 2020. He was born in Dayton, Ohio, and raised by his mother and grandparents. And he has a Connecticut connection, which we're going to talk with him about when he comes on, because he went to high school here in Connecticut. And then he went to Harvard, Harvard, and Harvard again. Just a few different Harvards. He has made his life in New York City, my understanding is. I don't know how long he's lived there. But he is chairman of the Studio Museum in Harlem. He's been on boards of hospitals and libraries and other museums. He got a lot of notice because 3 months after beginning his campaign, he had raised $5 million, which was an unusually high sum. A lot of the money came from Wall Street, corporate America, entertainment industry, real estate. And Valerie Jarrett was announced to serve as the co-chair of McGuire's campaign. You'll remember Valerie Jarrett was one of the top executives in the Obama administration. He's married to Crystal McCrary McGuire, who's a TV producer and novelist. And it says McGuire has three stepchildren, including Cole Anthony, who is an NBA player for the Orlando Magic. Do you know who that is? Are you a basketball fan, Anthony? I know. Andrew, do you know anything about him? Have you ever heard that name?
No,
I know nothing
sorry.
About NBA. No, it's okay. I don't know either. Anyway, we're hoping that Ray McGuire calls in any moment now. 203-333-9422. In the meantime, the question of the day is, when did the pandemic become real for you? When did the pandemic become real for you? I'm getting a lot of emails from this. For some people, it became real when they got COVID, when they literally got COVID. Then it became very real. Some people got COVID and didn't know it was COVID until afterwards when they tested positive for antibodies. They thought they had something else or whatever it was they had that passed through them. I think that that's true for a lot of people, that COVID didn't become real until they got it or, frankly, till somebody they knew got it. Because in the first months of this, even though we were hit hard in New York and in Connecticut, it seemed like the rest of the country was assuming that it wasn't going to get there. They were a little bit in la-la land. They didn't want to wear a mask. And remember in those first weeks how all of the nurses and doctors and mostly nurses came to New York and here in Connecticut to help us because we needed the help. Then they went back home and they realized that where they were needed the help. And in various parts of the crisis, they needed help more than we did. So there's just a reflection going on right now, like a real reflection. Looking back at our moods, at our habits, what's changed that we want to keep. There are people who say that there are things we want to keep forever, that there's been more introspection, a little bit more appreciation of family. And there are things that we can't wait to say goodbye to. Joining us right now is Ray McGuire. I've given you just a little bit of a taste of his background. Ray McGuire, welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show. I'm so happy you're on the show today. Welcome.
Hello, Lisa Wexler. How are you today?
I'm great. I've told our audience a little bit about you, but I want to just say that I just noticed that you have a Connecticut connection. You went to high school at Hotchkiss.
I did. Lakeville with the flashing red light. Yes, I did.
That's a beautiful place. I've been to Hotchkiss. It's beautiful.
You know, Lisa, I got to Hotchkiss when my 11th grade teacher, I had a 4.0 average. I had president school, and I was captain of the basketball team. She says, you know, if you're as good as they say you are, go test yourself against the big girls and boys in the East. So I flew to Bradley Field and took a Greyhound bus around New England by myself at 16, looking for education, and landed at Hotchkiss. At least when I got to Hotchkiss, my classmates had those short sleeve shirts with alligators, cost more than my entire wardrobe.
I'm I bet they did. You know, it's very funny because we have a personal story about Hotchkiss too, a very different one. My husband wanted to go to Hotchkiss. He got in and there was a letter welcoming him. He wanted to play golf there. He said, oh my God, a high school with a golf course? I never heard of anything so wonderful. And he came with the alligator shirts. You know, he came from that kind of a family, a preppy family. And he wasn't allowed to go. And it broke his heart. His father had a different school in mind for him and said, you can go to Hotchkiss if you can afford to pay for it yourself. But otherwise, you got to get out. You got to go to boarding school. And here's the one you got to go to. You got to go to the one that I went to. And he was miserable there. It was Andover. He was miserable. It wasn't your story at all. But you would have gone to school together. You would have overlapped. You could have been classmates. And he was 6'4". Maybe he would have played basketball with you. You never know.
And he's still a great. And he's still a great man. No.
He's the best. We're married almost 40 years. I love him to pieces. But
wow,
I will tell
look
you.
Look at you. Look at that. Look at that. Yeah. That is awesome.
Oh
that's
yeah.
Just awesome. And you have children.
Oh yeah, we got two kids together. Of course. Yeah, I was a child bride. I got married at 21. I was a baby. Yeah. Yeah, we met in college. Yeah. So, Ray McGuire, I have been following your candidacy with such interest. I have so many things to ask you. I was reading your comeback plan. I guess the first question I really want to ask you is, why are you running for mayor? Why?
You know, I love this city. We're just talking about our families. I love this city. It's given me everything. I came to this city, Lisa, I had three things. I had a great education, I had a lot of debt, and I had no money. And it's where I met my lovely wife, my better three-quarters wife, who is an author. She does documentary films and feature films.
Wow.
We're raising our three children. Leo, who is 8, Ella, who is 18, and Cole, our 20-year-old, was recently drafted into the NBA and now is a starting point guard for the Orlando Magic. So
was that a dream that you ever wanted? Ray, was that a dream that did you ever want to go pro?
You know, at some point, you really have to do a reality check.
Okay.
So I would have dreamed of going pro, but, you know, when I got to college, there were so many other things that were interesting to me that would have given me, you know, that did allow me to experience the world differently than I would have had I just simply focused on basketball. So, listen, we applaud him. We are so proud of him, and he's put in the hard work. And so, you know. But it's because of our love for this city and everything that it's given me, both personally and professionally, that I decided to run.
And do you live in Manhattan with your family? Is that where you've raised your kids? Are you in Manhattan?
We live in Manhattan with our family. Now, you know, when it comes to basketball, you know, Lisa, that we travel the country with many of these basketball games. So with Ella and Cole both playing, we were nonstop. But yes, we live in Manhattan. We're proud to live in Manhattan. But it's been an extraordinary experience for us. We love the city.
We're chatting with Ray McGuire, who's running for mayor. So, Bill de Blasio, you know, he's had a very low approval rating. Most people don't have too many good things to say about him. And I don't think it's a secret. And by the way, I was born in Brooklyn, Ray, and I was raised on Long Island, and I went into Manhattan every Saturday, and I'm a graduate of NYU Law, and I'm a real New Yorker, even though I adore Connecticut, too. I'm both. I straddle both states, and I love them equally. So, and I've always described, particularly here in Fairfield County, that there's an umbilical cord between us and New York City, and we feed and nourish and nurture each other. The health of New York City is incredibly important to us here in the suburbs. And I guess what I want to know from you is, if you're mayor, how are you going to address, and I'm going to give you one very specific thing I'm going to ask you about. My kids just bought a condo in the city. They'll be closing, God willing, in May. How are you going to address the empty storefronts? What is going on in Manhattan now?
You know, Lisa, part of my economic plan, and I call it the greatest, most inclusive economic comeback plan in the history of this city, is go big, go small, go forward. Now, let me focus on the go small, because the go small focuses on the small businesses. And as you know, they're responsible for 50%. So half of the people in New York work in small businesses, and we need to give them a lifeline. And so I have a plan that does just that. It focuses on giving them wage subsidy for 50% wage subsidies for a year. It allows them, and I have to negotiate these things, to retain, you know, some of their New York City sales tax receipts. I will also appoint a deputy mayor for small businesses to cut the red tape, which is significant. I'm going to see if we can't negotiate some relief on the utility bills and on their rent. And for those people who are small business landlords, they need support as well because they got bills to pay. And I want to make sure that we, for the restaurants out there that have generated 45 or so fines from several different agencies, that we give them relief. And then I want to invest in what I call the comeback bank, so we can invest in what they call the CDFI, which is the Community Development Financial Institutions, so they can give grants to many of these small businesses and equity to the extent that we can partner with them. But we need to make certain that small businesses are our clients. And the boarded up windows that you see, we need to take them down and excite people and energize people and incentivize them to be in New York City. That's what I'm going to commit to. Listen, we have the smartest, most driven people, the best culture, the best restaurants, the best theaters, the best shops. We need to get those shops open. So my economic comeback plan is focused on doing just that. Let's get New York back together.
We're talking with Ray McGuire. Ray, what is your thinking on recent bail reforms? And do you see a correlation between a resurgence of some crime and the lack of any bail at all for lower level crimes? What do you think about that?
You know, I think that that we need to address the inequities that lead to the crime that is taking place in this city. Let me give you an example. If I have no summer job, I have no youth center, I have no rims or nets on the basketball court. I have no broadband. I have no tablet. I have no laptop. I got no summer. And I don't have a job. So what, and this is an explanation. It's not an excuse, it's an explanation of why we see such a rise in the kind of activity that we're seeing, in large part because we've not invested in the communities in the way we need to. We have not given jobs. The economic uplift that has occurred has not uplifted all boats, which is what it's intended to do, which is why my plan is designed to do exactly what I've outlined. I do have a safety and justice plan that will focus on just this so that people don't have to return or have to turn to the kind of disruptive activity that we've seen that about what you're describing. I don't know that there's a huge correlation, but the perception is there. And we need to address that perception.
There definitely is a perception. And there's also a perception, it may not even be true, that for police, that maybe they're not bothering to enforce some kinds of laws because they can't make them stick even for a day or two. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, the answer to that is I understand that. And let me tell you, I'm for better policing. I think we need the police in the communities. We also need the police to put ourselves in a position where we go back to when we have police athletic leagues and when we have community policing. What that will do is restore some of the respect today, because we haven't held those people who are the serial abusers, for whom we pay $200 million a year. We haven't held those people who create a cloud over the entire force. We haven't held them accountable, and we need to. And so what the communities experience is some of the more aggressive law enforcement that gets videotaped, the result of which that trust has been breached. We need to hold those people who are a relatively small percentage of the NYPD. We need to hold them accountable so that we can begin to restore that trust.
We're chatting with Ray McGuire, who's running. Ray, have you run for public office before?
I have not. I am not a politician. I haven't been termed out. I'm not looking for a promotion. I'm not involved in any administration. So I'm doing this solely because the city needs someone in whom they can trust and whom they can believe, who's got a track record of executing, of leading, and pulling together the best talent. Remember, I managed out of the depths of the financial crisis. So I had to go attract and retain the best talent so we could build our way out of this. We got to build our way out of this. And you know what? We're too divided. We're broke. We're broken, divided. We need someone who can bring this city together, who understands the language of the streets and the language of the suites, or as my Latino brother and sister would say, from the barrios to the boardroom. That's what we need in order to bring this city together. One New York. Lisa,
in this
culture,
in this culture shift that we're having right now, Ray McGuire, and with all this energy around Black Lives Matters, and some of a backlash against Black Lives Matter, and some fear, and all of it, it's a very big cultural shift. Do you think it's important for New York City that we have a Black mayor?
I think it's important, yes, that we have a Black mayor, and a Black mayor who can pull the city together. Because what happens if we don't come together, Lisa, is that the more marginalized of our city are the ones who are going to incur the heaviest burden. We need to bring the city together. And given the racial composition, yes, I think it's important, but it's important for that Black leader to have established credentials in the streets and in the suites, who's got the relationship to pull this city together. We cannot be divided. We need somebody there's nobody in my pocket. Right. This ain't about me. This is about we.
Yeah.
And we have to have a clarity of vision, a North Star that is not a weather vane. My North Star is not a weather vane. And you know something about my comments and my word is my bond. You learned that growing up. And my truth is, I don't have to remember tomorrow what I told you today, because that ain't going to change.
Yeah. Well, what do you think the source is of your own motivation? I mean, you're an American success story, and you came your way through tremendous elite institutions at an early age. Obviously, you were a brilliant student, but you did Harvard, you did the JD and MBA in 4 years. I mean, you know, and then boom, you know, there you are at Citigroup, and you're making your way up. What do you think distinguished you? What's the thing that gets you up in the morning?
You know, it is the same thing that gets each of our kids up in the morning. It is our parents and my single mother who emphasized, my grandparents who emphasized the importance of education, who made the sacrifices for me to get an education. But you know what, Lisa? I'm like all the other kids in this city. And my mother's like all the other parents in this city. I know that you and your husband wanted for your children the best education. That's not dissimilar. That is the same as every other parent in the city. You know, I got lucky. It shouldn't be luck. And today, our children's lives are determined by their zip codes. And that's not sustainable, which creates the divide that we currently have. The system is not working for, you know, the vast majority of our kids. So if we stand for anything, if I'm impassioned about anything, I'm outraged. I'm outraged at the lack of education that many of our children are getting. Outraged.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ray McGuire, let me ask you something, because Bill de Blasio has tried really hard to get rid of some of the entrance requirements for Stuyvesant and Bronx High School and Brooklyn Tech. He's argued that those meritorious testing make them elite in a way that disadvantages Black and Latinos. And the Asian population has lashed back at that. And they've said, you know, we've come to this country. Most of us didn't speak the language of English in our first generation. Our kids worked hard and they studied hard. Why are you depriving them of a place that will give them a leg up to an Ivy League education that we otherwise can't afford and wouldn't see? What do you think about that as mayor? Are you going to try and get rid of some of those merit-based requirements for the elite public schools?
Well, let me narrow that. The merit-based requirement that you're describing now is one test. There is not one great educational institution in this country, not one that we can name, whose sole criteria is one test, not one, not any of the great ones. And so what we need to do is expand the criteria. There's every institution to which I've applied and been fortunate to get into, and then the ones I've been able to go to, none of them have depended solely on one test. And what happens is that we're not giving our children the richness of different experiences, which over time we can assess. Meaning, there are different criteria. Can you use a test? The test is fine, but it can only be one of several. It can't be the sole, because we then rely on teaching to a test and not teaching to the child, and not teaching to the fundamentals that are going to be necessary for that child to exist comfortably and confidently in society and at some point, given her or his talent, be leaders and be contributors, even if they're not leaders. We're all contributing. So I would say let's make certain that the opportunities exist to all of our children, not just a selected few, and make certain that we give them the opportunities to get the education so that when the test does come up, they know about it. And there are multiple criteria that we have made available and on which we decide who gets into these specialized high schools. And by the way, we need to make sure the specialized high schools are up into the levels at which they should operate, because today we're not scoring the way we used to score when it comes to the performance. I look across the country, and excuse me if I'm competitive when it comes to this, I want New Yorkers to be the best. And so I want to make certain we got the best criteria to identify the students who have the talent, and that those students get exposed and their parents get exposed and the teachers get exposed to the opportunities that this test or these institutions provide. Now, let's be clear. That's 30,000 kids. We got 1 million kids in the system. And nobody, we're not talking about that. We spend more time talking about gifted and talented and specialized than we do about the 1 million other kids in the system. And if I look at third through eighth grade, black and brown kids, you know what? They score 70% below proficient.
Wow.
And we don't, and there's no outrage. So we have to have an outrage.
Yeah.
That's my point. And where's the outrage on that? We spend more time talking about, and I get it. I'm for excellence. Believe you me, I wouldn't be here without having had the opportunity, but it can't be that all of our children don't have the opportunity. That's what I'm fighting for. I'm fighting so that the system that we have today, which determines someone's life by virtue of their zip code, that's not sustainable. That's not America. That's not New York. That's not who we are. But we've allowed that system to persist for so long. And look at how many people that we're leaving behind. And the societal cost is and will become even more significant.
Yeah, but have you seen some of these schools, Ray McGuire? Have you seen how they've been neglected? They look, you know, when you walk into the building and you're a student, you could think to yourself subliminally, not consciously, nobody cares about me. If they cared about me, I wouldn't be going to a school that looked like this.
You're exactly right. And you know what? We have in many of our boroughs, the schools can't afford crayons.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about that. Yeah, we have deplorable conditions. It shouldn't be that the local McDonald's looks better than the local classroom.
That's correct. That's right. That's right. Well, you have a big job to do,
so
Ray McGuire.
That's what I'm going to fight for.
I have
that's
to
what
say,
I'm fighting for.
I applaud you for throwing your hat into the public ring. There are so few people that end up voting in the primary. The primary tends to end up being the general election most of the time in terms of it's really, you know, it's the Democrats. That's where usually the action is. So Valerie Jarrett, I read that she was your campaign manager. Is that true?
She's not my campaign manager. Charles, no. Well, the campaign manager is a gentleman by the name of Basil Smichel, but Valerie has been a longstanding friend. I've known Valerie since before President Obama became a senator. So we have a longstanding relationship.
You're going to need all the savvy necessary to break into the entrenched political club that is New York City politics. But listen, if Michael Bloomberg could do it, you could do it, Ray McGuire. If he could do it, you could
listen,
do it.
I'm an outsider, that's clear, but I've been an outsider for a long time. And then I was able to, through hard work and grit and performance, to do what they say in that play Hamilton, be in the room when it happens. I want to make sure that we transform this so that the least of the has the opportunities. And I need the support of all of your vast listenership and viewership. You have so much respect and admiration out there. So and it's because you've earned it. It's because you've earned it. So I'm honored to be on your show talking to you and in your audience, which is clearly one of the most well-informed and the most passionate, the most committed, and who care? We need this. I need this. New York City needs this.
So if people want to join your campaign or contribute to your campaign, where do they find you?
They find me at rayformayor.com, Ray, R-A-Y, 4-F-R, Mayor, M-A-Y-O-R.com. And I'm there. And I will tell them to also look at some of the recent support that we've got. We've raised more money than anybody else, and we're nearing historic levels because New Yorkers recognize that what our vision for this city is an inclusive vision that will set this city apart, and so that our best days are ahead of us as opposed to our best days being behind us. And we can realize this when this city comes together. Remember, one New York. And yes, we welcome our neighbors. We welcome our neighbors, but this is one New York.
Ray McGuire, thank you very much for being on our show. I hope you come back again. It's rayformayor.com. And good luck. And thanks for running.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And good luck to you. Continued success in all that you're doing as you make a difference that is so fundamental. So thank you. I have so much respect and admiration for you and so much gratitude for you having me on your show. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ray McGuire. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show coming up.